thank him for his goodness, his grace, his mercy. I was thinking about Joyce's testimony there, and I was listening to her, what she said. The Apostle Paul, the greatest grace preacher that ever lived, when he'd have an opportunity to stand before kings and governors, you know what he'd do, Joyce? He'd just give him his testimony. Tell him about when he got saved. I was on the road to Damascus. All I know is lights turned around about me. I was blinded for 3 days. Had an introduction to a man called Jesus. There's nothing no more important in our life than our testimonies now. You know, God's got a testimony. The Bible says the testimony of God in here, what he's got to say about some things. And I thank him for his testimony. Thank him for being saved this morning. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, all right? I was talking to a preacher friend of mine this morning down in Cincinnati. He said, what are you going to preach on? I said, I got three messages. I don't know if I can preach all three of them. I said, so I'll decide when I get to church. So I've settled on one, all right? So don't be scared. And stand when you find your place if you're able. Are we on, sir? I forgot my glasses. Let me get my eyes over here. Sometimes I stick them in my pocket. And I forgot to this morning. This know also. Is that the right chapter and verse? That in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, I think we're living in the last days. This is written some 1900 years ago. And he's given us a warning here, Paul is, and he wrote this letter to young Timothy. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. I think that's the day we're living in, don't you? Yeah. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, and fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Now, I've told you over the years, there's nothing wrong with loving pleasures. Just don't love it more than God. Amen? You fall in this category here, these last day folks. Those first five. These are all religious people. Having a what? Form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Then look at verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Notice what it says about these religious folks that have a form of godliness. It says they're men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now that word reprobate means God's looked upon them and cast them aside, and there's no hope for them. When God reprobates an individual or a group of people or a nation, they're gone. That's all there is to it. See, let me say this before you sit down, while you're still standing, paying attention to me. There's three classes of people in the world. There's those that's under common grace. That means they're just sinners. You know, the God lets the rain fall upon the unjust as well as the just. They're under common grace. You don't hear that much anymore. Then there's those that are saved, we're under special grace. Don't you think so? It is amazing. Then those as God has looked upon and reprobated, set them aside. There's no hope for the rich people like that. And we're living in this last day. You may be seated. I want to try to preach to you this morning on the subject, dangerous times are here. Perilous times. That's what it said. That word perilous means danger. He said it's going to, this also that in the last days, I think we're living in the last days. I think we're living in the Saturday evening of time. Do you hear what I said? When I preach about things like this, some of you said you're kind of nonchalant. Okay, it's just another one of those gloom and doom messages. Okay? But I think we need to be woken up. As Adam said, there are some things ought to wake us up, ought to stir us, and we ought to be concerned about it. We ought to be worried about it. Ought to be troubled about it. Look what it says here. There are some things that we need to be aware of. There'll be a departure from the faith in these last days. These people are religious folks. They have a form of godliness, right? But denying the power thereof. Paul had wrote over here in 1 Timothy, he said, and now the Spirit speaketh expressly. He said, the Holy Ghost wants to speak here through me. And he wants to express himself. He wants to say some things here. That in the latter old times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines of demons. You know, the devil has a doctrine. You know that? Did you hear what I said? He's got a message. He's got a kingdom. Are you listening to me? He's got disciples following after him. And said, now listen to this. Men, women, boys and girls will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Is that right? Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, we're in a day and age where a lot of folks' conscience are void of judgment. You ever have a hot iron stuck to your hand? My son did. Him and my daughter would go in each other's bedroom every night and look at what time they had their clock set to get up. So they'd see, we didn't have two or three bathrooms like we got now. They only had one bathroom. So they'd reach in there and set their clock up 15 minutes early so they'd get up ahead of one another, get in the bathroom first. I heard them arguing, fussing about every morning. And one morning, I heard him hollering, "Give me the iron!" You know, he wanted to iron his pants again. "Give me the iron!" And she did. She stuck it to his hand. Then Dad's got to intervene. Listen to what it said. Speaking lies, how far happened, their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, if you stick someone's hand to a hot iron, you know what's going to happen? It's going to blister. And it's going to pull off that dead skin later on. Take it a while, but it'll get deadened to feeling, right? Anybody ever been burnt? And you get a blister. And after a while, that blister starts to peel off. And when that blister peels off, it's numb. It's dead to feeling. Is that right? He said that they'll have their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, their conscience will become numb. Now listen to me this morning carefully. The only thing that separates man from animals is our conscience today. An animal can take another animal, rip it apart, eat the flesh, eat the blood, drink the blood, and think nothing of it. It was a good meal. But if we do that as humans, we got a conscience to trouble us about doing stuff like that. Of course, every once in a while, people get their conscience here with the hot iron, and you get like that fella up there in Detroit, eating those people, putting them in his freezer and everything like that. Folks, we're living in dangerous times. Now, we're kind of sheltered around here up West Virginia and in these mountains and stuff like that. We'll be thankful for it. We're sheltered from tornadoes. They don't too many hit us. The mountains knock them off. We're kind of sheltered from some of this stuff. But look what it says here. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Now, I used to think that just pertained to Catholicism, the Catholic teaching. Because in Catholicism, the priests are forbidden to marry. Right? And it turns a bunch of them into homosexuals. Be better for them to get married, right? Somebody say, hey, man, knows anything about truth. I used to think that just these verses just pertain to Catholics because they didn't want their priests to get married. But listen, we're coming to a day and age where there'll be no more marriage in America or around the world. It'll be a civil union that they'll have because of all the transgenders and all this nonsense that's going on in our world. These people just letting their kids mutilate themselves and make freaks out of themselves. Are you listening to me? We're in dangerous times today. And forbidding to marry and abstain from meat. I used to think that was Catholic also, because if you lived in a city like I did, grew up in Cincinnati, on Fridays, none of the restaurants had nothing but fish. They wouldn't eat no meat. Catholic kind of dominated the whole city. You went to a restaurant, about any restaurant you went to, they had fish on Friday. They get all you want, but it's fish. They wouldn't eat no meat. I thought it pertained to them. But now we're coming to a day and age where they think cows ought to be done away with because they cause too much pollution. We're in dangerous times. We got a bunch of idiots running our country. A bunch of perverted people running our country. Not only they want cows done away with, but they're going to start monitoring how much meat you eat, how many hamburgers you eat a week, whatever. My goodness. Take away my cheeseburgers. Me and Sherry's going to start a war. Well, but I'm telling you, this is coming. They've already talked, our vice president, about monitoring how much red meat you eat in America. They think, see, they're trying to control everything about you this day and age. What you eat, where you go. I remember they got on TV and said, you can have two or three gather over at your houses, you know, for 4th of July and thing. I never stopped. Well, we always done it. When we had Thanksgiving dinner, we had everybody that wanted to come. 14, 15 people. Huh? I'm sorry. If they wanted to stop that, they'd had to got their guns out. Over at my place, at least. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. I told my family, I said, we've been missing that verse all these years. All we've been doing is praying, not giving no word of God over our meals. So now Sherry, when she prays over her foods, she always had Jesus with. Well, that's easy to remember, huh? Sometimes I get in John 3:16 or whatever. And I found myself, my wife the other day, I said, you praying? She said, yeah. I said, Jesus wept. Like I said, one thing that these last days, these dangerous times, there is a departure from the faith where people give heed to seducing spirits and doctrine. Doctrine. Now listen to me, doctrine's the devil. That means in our churches. They have a form of godliness denying the power thereof. They're not only a departure from the faith, but there's a denial in these last days. When Peter and them was preaching over in the book of Acts, he said, the God of Abraham and the Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied. He came to his own received him not. They denied him. Denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. Now, did you hear that? The Jews denied him in the presence of Pilate, the governor, when Pilate was determined to let him go. Pilate wanted to let him go. Pilate, matter of fact, said, I find no fault in this man. Pilate walked over and got himself a pound of water, thought it would clear him his blood, and tried to wash his hands of that man's blood. That didn't work, though. He still have to give account for it. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you. And kill the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead. Look how Peter gave that message. You killed him, God raised him. He gave him the death, burial, and resurrection. I earned just a couple of words. Ain't that amazing? Said, you denied him. Now listen, there's a denial this day and age of the inspiration of the Scriptures. Do you hear what I said? I believe this old book, this old King James Bible, I believe God preserved it and watched over it. Folks say, well, the original was inspired. I said, well, if that's the case, there's none of the original left around that anybody knows about. You know where any of the original's at? You can go read. And now the original left around, if that's the case, if God didn't preserve it and keep it and watch over it and give it to you and I, we don't have a Bible today. But there's a denial of the inspiration of the Scripture in these last days. And listen, that's what leads down to this downfall of people, what? Giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of devil's day. Hey, the Word of God should be and is the final authority in everything that we believe, teach, and do this day and age. Don't you think that this morning? If you believe that, say amen today. I mean, this is the final authority. God's Word is the final authority over what I think today and what I believe today. Yeah, I believe and I teach that you must be born again because this old Word of God says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. They deny the inspiration. They deny the Word of God. They want to change it and rewrite it and stuff like that. They say, God just really mean it. I believe God said what he meant, don't you? And meant what he said. Remember old preachers preaching that? I mean, God said what he meant what he said. God knew how to say something, did he not? I mean, he is omniscient. He knows all things. Is that right? And I think he knows how to talk today. I may stutter sometimes and mispronounce words and say them wrong, but God knows what he wants to say today, folks. And he said it, penned it down, and gave it to you and I, and we ought not deny it today. Are you listening to me? The devil come along, tried to change God's word. You know where it's the first time it happened? In the book of Genesis with Eve there. He wanted to know what Eve, now listen to me carefully, he wanted to know what Eve knew, how much Eve knew about the word of God. And he said, what did God say, in other words? And she said, well, he said we can eat of all the trees around here except that tree of knowledge of good and evil. We're not even supposed to touch it. And you know what she did? She changed the word of God. She's the first one to change the word of God. God didn't say anything about touching it. God said, don't eat it. The day thou eateth of thou shalt surely die. But see, Eve got the word second-handed. God gave it to Adam. He handed it down to her. Did you ever have in school where you'd say a word and go through the classroom and by the time you got over here, how many different words you had? That's what happens a lot of times when people try to hand down the word of God sometimes. Eve changed it to her, said, you're not supposed to touch it. God didn't say anything about touching it. He said, they that eateth of thou shalt surely die. And the devil saw she got in the word of God like she should. And she'd changed it. And the devil changed it his own self. And the day they eateth of thou shalt, he said, well, you'll surely not die. And she believed the devil over top of God. And that's what got us in this mess we're in. That's why we're all getting old and why we're wrinkling and why our hair is turning gray or turning out. Amen? Are you listening to me? That's why most of us have got glasses on this morning because of sin. Sin, listen, that a tree of knowledge of good and evil, whatever it was, it poisoned Adam's bloodline and Adam started aging and he passed that on down to you and I this morning, to his grandchildren. Amen? Acts 11:34 says, who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? In other words, who knows the mind of God that he could counsel God and tell God what he wants to say and what he wants to do? Hey, I believe God said what he wanted to say here to us. There's a denial of the scriptures. And then we're in a day and an age of desperation. Everybody's scared. Look at us. All got our mask on and everything like that. Huh? Remember in 2000 when 2000 turned over? Everybody's afraid. Oh, YK2. I don't know what that even means. I don't really care. I don't know what it means. But everybody was afraid. They were afraid their TV wasn't going to come on the next day. And their clocks weren't going to turn over to the right year and everything like that. Hey, there's an hour of desperation there. Hey, but I'm glad that God is still in control of this universe today, aren't you? Yeah. He's not a whole sitting up there all gray-headed and gray-bearded and everything like that. And don't know what ring in his hands, wondering what's going on. Hey, God's got this planned out. And God's got this age. And God's got the church age just where he wants it at today. And he declared the end from the beginning, did he not? He does know all things. If he doesn't, he isn't God. The Bible said that in these last days, man's heart be filling them for fear of looking after the things coming upon the earth. How many of you church members sit around depressed, get in depression, worrying about, is God still not in control? Huh? Okay, we've lived good. You live good, right? You can go to a restaurant and get yourself a steak anytime you want to, right? Is that right? Huh? We drive fine automobiles. We wear nice clothes. I get mine as a discount rack and everything. My daughter says she's going to buy me a tailor-made suit for my birthday this year. Whoa. She thinks the Lord's going to come. She wants to spend her money for you. But God's good to us, is he not? Hey, has anybody been put in a den of lions this morning? Has anybody been, my goodness, desperation. Has anybody seen their families cast into a den of lions and have to stand by and watch it today? God's been good to us, has he not? We've all got something to praise God for this morning, have we not? I mean, God is still good today and God is still on the throne today. We sing these songs, but I don't think we believe them today. I know we're living in dangerous times, but let me say this. This church was founded in a time whenever they took Christians out and threw them into an arena of gladiators and let them chop them to pieces there, and their family had to stop by and watch that. Hey, I'm glad I'm in a church with padded pews and carpet on the floor and central heat. Aren't you this morning? Hey, I said God's still good to us today, folks. We're living in our desperation. Men's hearts fail them for fear of looking upon things that's coming upon the earth. Not only desperation, but there's a deadness in our church world. I thank God for the service this morning. I just felt the presence of the Spirit of God when I come into church today. And all the wonderful songs, and God just seemed like He sees them with the Holy Spirit today. All of you that sing. Seemed like a touch. And that's what makes us singing good. I mean, Rick, if I get up here and you get up here and we get up here and sing and God don't touch and move with deadness, it ain't no good. But when the Holy Spirit looks down upon us and just seems like the drops is a handful on purpose and touches and we can feel the presence of God's Spirit from the songs and from the testimonies, well, then I say, God help us not to have that form of godness and denying the power thereof. Look what it says about those folks. It said they're without natural affection. They're without, you get that? Natural affection. Did you read that there? Verse 3, without natural affection. Now listen to me. We may not be touched by it too much here in these areas, I guess. But our world has been taken over by demonic power. See, in Jesus' day, you read all those, he'd cast demons out. I think the devil has come back and he's just possessing a lot of people this day and age. They're without natural affections. I watch your child, Ashley. Since it's been, look who's holding it back there. Andy. That's natural. It's natural for women just to love babies and want babies. I've seen it passed around and some over here holding it one morning and different ones. See, I notice things like that. And, that's natural. Huh? I mean, even these girls, a lot of times, these young girls, as a baby is in the church or in a house, something like that, these little girls will get it and want to hold it. That's natural, right? That's natural. Hey, I think it's unnatural for women to get out here and protest up and down the street to have the right to kill a bunch of babies aboard a plane. That's unnatural, folks. And we're in dangerous times today, and we need to be woken up this morning and say, God, help our nation today. God, cast out the demon spirits out of our leaders of our country today and give us somebody that loves babies. Huh? I think it's natural for women just like to shop. Right, girls? I remember when they voted me in pastor here back in 1991. Maxine stood up here and she said, I've been going over to the Kmart over at Walmart. That's when they had a Kmart over. And every day I go over there, so they ask me, have you got a pastor yet? Got a pastor yet? And you've been without a pastor for quite a while. And she said, now I can go over there and I can tell them we got a pastor. And Nora said, you're just wanting an excuse to go to Kmart. I was down at this Heck store, I think it was, years ago, down on Route 10. Down next to Hamblin down there. My wife was shopping or doing something. And I was standing over waiting. I think they ought to have recliners in all these stores for husbands. I've told some of them that. You ought to have some recliners for husbands to sit in, waiting for their wives to get through shopping. And I was waiting for my wife, and they had a table there with a bunch of, I don't know, shoes and clothes and stuff on it. And there's a bunch of girls there. 8, 9 years old, boy, and they just going through that stuff. and flipping it over and looking at this and trying to hold it. I stood there and I kind of laughed. I said, I think it's just natural for girls to like to shop. I think it's just part of their nature, huh? we're in a day and age when there are men of corrupt minds and reprobate. You hear me? There's a school, I think, up around Boston. It's called Grace Church School, I believe the name of it. One of the more elite schools in the country. It costs you a lot of money to go there. And they produce some of our leaders of our country out of that school. Grace Church School, I think it's the name of it, if my mind don't fail me. And they've got literature that they're printing up. Now listen to this, they're teaching their students. You don't call mom, mom no more, and you can't call dad, dad no more. You can call them your elders or parents or something like that, but you can't say mom and dad no more. I mean, they've got this written out and teaching this to kids. They're changing the literature of our country today, folks. They're changing our culture this day and age. And I said, there's a demonic force behind this. You can't say mom and dad no more. You say, well, now, preacher, that don't affect us. It will eventually. It affect your kids and your grandkids and stuff like that. I may be out of here pretty soon, so I won't have to worry too much about it. But listen to me. I'm trying to warn you this morning. In a nature where you can't call your grandparents grandpa and grandma no more. Now, Doug would go along with that. He thinks he's too young to be called grandpa. I told him, I said, I'm going to teach that grandbaby to call you old Doug. See, his daddy and all of his brothers and sisters, their daddy was named Frank, and they didn't call him dad. None of them did. Dad, none of them. They all called him old Frank. So I'm going to teach that grandbaby to call him old Doug. You remember that? Hey, listen. They don't want you to call your grandparents and children. They don't want parents to call their children sons and daughters no more. They can call them your siblings and things like that. Folks, we're in dangerous times. I said, we're in dangerous. They're creating a generation, not only idiots, but a generation of perverts. They had a woman, Biden had pointed to the cabinet up there, and she wanted to take 10 years old, 12 years old, and give them medication to change their puberty. Is that the right word? In other words, so boys wouldn't necessarily act like boys and girls wouldn't act like girls. They're trying to create transgender generation of people. I said, we're in dangerous times, folks. God, wake us up and God, help us. We need to... Over there in the Old Testament, Nehemiah had a good job. He was a cupbearer. Now, it was a dangerous job. The palace of Shushan to the king. Everybody knows what a cupbearer is, don't you? When they would bring, say, the food to the king, he would taste the food, so if they poisoned it, he'd die. Oh, God help us this morning. Remember, Jesus went to the garden and said, remove this cup from me. That cup of becoming sin. Huh? He tasted that cup for you and I. And Nehemiah, at the drink that they brought him, the wine, he'd sip it. I said he had a good job. He's a servant to the king, but it's a dangerous job too. But when word come to him about Jerusalem, how the city was burned and the walls were torn down and everything, he got down in sackcloth and ashes. Well, we need to get back to sackcloth and ashes one more time and ask God to break our hearts and ask God to put some tears in our eyes. Jeremiah said, would to God that my head was a fountain, my eyes my head was a water, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slaying of the daughter of my people. We need to weep for America like that one more time. I mean, And they want to do that, give those kids that medication, change their gender without their parents' permission. I mean, I'm talking about the person that Biden appointed in that cabinet post. She got on TV and said that's what she wanted to do. We're in dangerous time, don't you think so? And in our schools, not 10 and 12 years old, 6 and 7 years old, they're teaching them. Now, you're at the age where you can decide what gender you want to be. I like what the doctor said the other day. He said, I can look at a baby and in 10 seconds I can tell the parents what it is. Huh? Are you listening to me? But they're telling kids, trying to teach kids in our schools today, 5 and 6 years old, that you can decide now what gender you want to be. And young kids are being mutilated. Is that the right word? Mutilate? I'll get it out in a minute. Becoming a bunch of freaks. Are you listening to me? Because we got a demonic force behind this, with these people being demon possessed. That's reprobate from the faith. And they, now listen to me. You may not have paid much attention to my message. I said it's a departure from the faith. And it started by them denying the word of God and denying God. The Bible said the fool said in his heart, there's no God. I remember what a Frenchman said one time. He walked up to a man that denied God. And he said, you know, said the Bible said the fool said in his heart. Said the fool said in his heart to himself, there's no God. He said, but you blabbed it with your big mouth. And that's what people are today. Well, I don't know. Can I preach a couple more minutes, spiritual minutes? In these perilous times and dangerous times, there'll be disturbances. Jesus sat down and those disciples told him, said, look at the temple. What beautiful the temple. He said, it's just a bunch of stones. Just a bunch of rocks. He said, now I tell you, there'll come a day when not one stone will be left up on another here. He sat down and talked to them. At his birth, Rick, there's a benediction of peace. Remember? Goodwill, peace towards, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. But that was at his birth, but that hasn't happened, has it? But he said, you'll hear wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and diverse places today. We see that all over our nation today, worse than it's ever been, has it not been? But now listen to me carefully. These are warnings and signs that God gave this generation. But mankind has took disasters and turned them into money-making, profit-making ventures. If your house gets blown down with a tornado, we'll just bill you new insurance to pay for it. Huh? And listen to me. It's hardened people. It's told people we can get along without God. We don't need His assistance. We'll come back. Is that what you hear on TV? I mean, we'll come back no matter what kind of disaster it is. We're strong. We'll come. I'm weak, folks, and I'm frail. I need a Savior this morning. I need God's hand on my life. Now, you say, preacher, what do we do in times like this? Well, there's duties still to be performed today. I'm coming to a close, okay? Like I said, this church was founded in a time when people were thrown into arenas or gladiators, chopped them to pieces. Kids, moms and dads were thrown into arenas and lions tore them to part. What are we supposed to do? Let's be awake, the Bible teaches us. Be ye vigilant. What? Be sober. In other words, be alert. Get awake. I'm trying to warn you, so listen to it today, what I'm saying. Be vigilant, be sober, for your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He'll devour us today if we let him. Now, he can't get our souls, but he can get our testimony sometimes. He can get us where we can come to church and say, well, we'll just go through the form and I don't feel good today and I hope the preacher don't hold me too long. Just have that old formalistic service, dead service. But we need to watch. Be alert. Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. Watch and pray. We need to watch and we need to pray. We need to be woken to our circumstances today. Titus 3 and 11 said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodly worldly lust, we should live righteously and godly in this present world. Looking for what? That blessed hope. We'll be looking for the rapture this morning to take place. If God don't get us out here pretty soon, God pity us. I don't think we can endure much more. Do you hear what I said? And then we need to work till the Lord comes. If they could have a testimony back there in times of the Roman persecution and things like that, if Daniel could have a testimony back there and we put him in a den of lions, shouldn't you not have a testimony today and still work for God today? Still make our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. God, listen to me, God never asks anything unreasonable of you and I today. And then we need to deal witness till the Lord comes. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Well, we can't travel much. They tell me now if you fly internationally, Brother Absalom want me to come back to the Philippines sometime when this is all over with. If you fly internationally, you got to get those shots. I never have went and got no shots. I guess they'll make me one of these days. But if we can't go to all nations, teach all nations, we can pick up the phone and call somebody. Now let me ask you this morning. We're in the dangerous times, perilous times, and we get wrapped up, get those things on our mind. We forget about sometimes calling somebody and just telling them we love you, like say you get saved. Now, when's the last time you called your children? Told me, I'm talking about call them and say, I've been praying for you. I'm concerned about you. Listen, I've got a son lost this morning. If you ain't got nobody to pray for, pray for my son, okay? Every time he's on the phone, I try to witness to him. He's going to hell if the Lord don't intervene. One of these days, the phone may ring and they say, accident happened, something happened. It'd be too late then, so God help us to be witnesses now. We can't go to all the world and teach all nations, but let's try to get our neighborhood saved. All of us got family around here, and friends, neighbors. Let's see if we couldn't get a burden for them. When's the last time you really sat down and wept for them? You said, God, then this morning you ought to come to an altar and say, God, break my heart. Put some tears back in my eyes. Be like Jeremiah. Would to God my head were waters, my eyes a fountain of tears, and I might weep day and night for the saying of the daughter of my people. When's the last time you wept over your mom or dad that's lost going to hell today? Listen, folks, hell's a reality. We're in dangerous time. I've got some friends up at Maple Hill Church. The lady was in the church, held an officer and everything, worked up at the bank. Her husband, I witnessed to him over the years, and sometimes I'd get out and drive over that area. When I wasn't pastoring, go talk to him. I'd go to his business that he had, talk to him. Now they tell me that both of them got dementia real bad. And he's lost as far as I know. See, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to get people to where they're out of their mind, laying over in the hospital on a hospital bed with a tube stuck down their throat. Because they kept putting off. I don't know if anybody's lost here this morning. If you're lost, you ought to come get saved. And all of us ought to come to an altar, ask God to put tears back in our eyes, break our hearts for our nation, our country. But we're in dangerous times today. I've got grandchildren that's lost. Something happened to them, they end up in hell today. God help us. We need help. I said, we need help from heaven.